Okay. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let me say this about our study that we're getting ready to enter into. This is the study of heaven. This will be our first lesson on it. So many people have been asking about this study for a long, long time, and now we've just managed to be able to get it and work it into our schedule. This study may generate more questions than we're going to have answers for. Let me tell you, in the King James Version of the Bible, heaven, the word heaven is mentioned 551 times. That's how many scriptures mention the word heaven. Now, there are many more verses that relate to heaven that tell us a little something about it, but don't have the word in it. So you're probably talking about at least 1,000 scriptures in the entire Bible that relate to heaven. In the NIV version, the word heaven is translated 622 times. So it's an important issue, it's an important place that we all need to know and learn more about, because someday, if you're a Christian, that's going to be your eternal home. So it's very, very important that we understand it. There's a lot about heaven that we don't know. And I'm not going to get into a lot of speculation. I don't like to do that. There are many, many books written about heaven. I hate to say the large majority of what I have read is not true. It's the authors using speculation. And I don't like speculation because it's yours and mine is just as good as anybody else's, and it really has no authority but the person that's doing it. I want to try to stick to what the Scripture has to say that we can know for firm, sure, solid facts about this place. So as we study it, I know you'll have questions. That's fine. This is an open Bible study. If you have a question, raise your hand. I will try to reach you. These lights sometimes, I don't be able to see everybody. My daughter informs me from time to time that I've missed somebody. I don't mean to. But if you have a question, raise your hand, and we'll try to answer your question about this subject. First of all, how do we know there's a real heaven? I mean, people talk about this place. Is it a real place? Is it something out here in the people's imagination that God put out just to make us feel good? What is this place really called heaven? Well, first of all, let me say this. It is definitely a place. And we'll find out more about it here in just a few minutes. It is a place. Christians will be going there. It will be your eternal abode. And there's more than one heaven mentioned in Scripture. And there is an intermediate heaven, which may shock a lot of people, that you will stay before the final heaven is established by God. And we'll get into the intermediate heaven and the final heaven. So let's get started. Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 1 through 3. This is Jesus talking. You can't get any more authoritative than this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Here he is addressing the Jewish nation. He said, listen, you believe in God, you believe in Yahweh, believe in me also. In my Father's house there are many mansions. That word mansions can be translated from the Greek into dwelling places. You could translate it like this. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, if there's no dwelling places there for you, I would tell you about it. But I'm telling you that there is. There's a lot of them. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He makes a promise. He said, listen, there's many places up there for you to dwell. You that believe in me, believe in the Father, there's places up there for you. And he said, I wouldn't tell you that they were there if they weren't there. So out of Jesus' own mouth, he makes a concrete statement. There are places in heaven that you're going to go dwell. And he said, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. He makes a statement. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back for you. Now, we know that is the rapture that we all look for, the catching away of the saints, dead and living. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going to bring you up to me. He comes in the air. We meet him in the air, and he said, I want you to be, you're going to be with me when that happens. That where I am, there you may be also. And he said, then we're going to go back to heaven. And there where I am, you're going to be with me. This is one of the greatest promises in the Bible, probably to a Christian, that you could have, is knowing that either whether we are dead or we're alive, when this event occurs, we will be with him up in heaven, which is called God's throne, many places in Scripture. We're going to be there with him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to have a lot of Scripture. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not going to do the 551 of them, but we're going to have a lot of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This verse is used a lot in funerals. I think it's a very calming verse for any person who has lost a loved one. And for all of us today that are alive, it's a very comforting verse to know what is ahead in the future. Let's read what Paul says here. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, Paul makes a statement here, and he's a man who, in a few minutes, I'll show you some other scriptures, who was in the third heaven. There's three different heavens we're going to talk about here. But he went to the third heaven, and he said it was so utterly fantastic in what he saw and heard that he couldn't even repeat it. He said it's not even lawful for him to talk about it down here on a human level. That's how great it was. And he said, you've not even seen, you haven't even heard the things that are up there that are prepared for us that love our Lord. So as human beings, we really cannot even begin to grasp what heaven is truly like. We'll be given a few glimpses here in some of the scriptures we'll study, but the absolute total glory of it, you couldn't live if you knew about it. You would not survive. Even Paul said he couldn't. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Look at verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2 through 7. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Paul said, I'm talking about an incident. 14 years ago, I knew this man real well. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Paul said, this incident I'm about to relate to you happened 14 years ago. And he said, I don't know whether I was living or dead. I really don't know to this day what state I really was in. Only God knows what it was. I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, Paul speaks of the third heaven. Let's talk about the three heavens that we know exist. The first heaven is the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. That's called the first heaven. That's the one where we live and we breathe and we operate in and our airplanes fly through. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is space. Beyond our Earth's atmosphere, that's the second heaven. That's where the planets and the universe resides and all these great pictures that you're seeing of the universe out there that the Hubble telescope and others are taking pictures of. And you see, that's the second heaven. That's where the planets and the stars and the galaxies all reside. That's the second heaven. Then there's a third heaven where Paul said he went into and he entered into, and that's God's throne. That's where God dwells beyond the universe that we can see. We can't even see all of the second heaven, by the way. It's so vast, we still have not seen the far reaches of it. But the third heaven is God's throne, where he resides today. He's there. And he said, I was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Paul said up there, when God let me go to this third heaven, where his throne is and where he resides, Paul said they speak a language up there that it's not even, the word translated from the Greek is legal. You don't even have a right as humans. And I don't have a right as a human, Paul says, to speak it. Though I heard it, and I might know it, it is unlawful for me to talk about it down here on this earth because it is on such a plane, so high and so great that I'm not even allowed to talk about it. He said, I saw things there that you can't even imagine, that it's not even normal for a human to be able to see what I saw. That's how grandeur heaven is that Paul saw. Of such a one I will glory. Will I glory? Yet of myself, if I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul said that when I went there, it made me so humble, and I realized how weak I am and lowly as a human being that I can't speak the language. I can't even tell you about what I saw up there, because it's so grand. And he said, yet, as a human, I would like to go around bragging about what I saw, but he said, I can't. It made me so humble. And he said, I'm not going to brag about what I've seen that no other human has ever seen. He said, I'm not going to do it. Look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I'd love to go around bragging about what I saw up there, Paul says, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, or I will stop, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul said, if I told you the things I saw, and I told you the language, and I reiterated what I was allowed to see up there, he said, men would try to glorify me and raise me up into something I really am not and should not be. So he said, I'm not going to talk about it. I want just to glorify in what God is and his wonderful person of him, but not me. You know how you hear these people having these NDEs, near-death experiences, and they come back and they write books and all that. I'm not going to get into that controversy, okay? I'm going to say this about it. There are hundreds of those examples. Many of you have read them. I've read hundreds of them. When my son was dying, he had an experience. I'm not going to discuss it right now. But he had an experience right before he breathed his last breath. I can't determine what these people are saying. The only thing I can say, I've read many of their books and their articles. I will say that some of them are totally unscriptural. Absolutely. And then some of them are not. I'm not going to be their judge. Only God can do that. But they come back and they become a celebrity on TV and in the book world and so forth and so on. And some of them say they don't do it for that purpose. That's okay. But here Paul says, I'm not going to do any of that, because it's just too great, too grandeur, and you humans wouldn't understand it anyhow. Any questions so far? Now he goes on in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted. He mentions this again, above measure. He said, you're going to put me on a pedestal somewhere because I'm the only person that's been there and come back, and I'll tell you what it's like. But he said, I don't want you to do that. Do not exalt me above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations. He says, here's the reason why I'm not telling you anymore. He said, first of all, it's not lawful. And I'm not going to tell you so that you raise me up as somebody great and special and put me on a podium and give me many speaking opportunities to tell you what I saw. I'm not going to do that. I've had these revelations, and I've seen them. I know what they're like, but I'm going to keep them to myself. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, this is the reason Paul says, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Whatever that was, we discussed some of the possibilities. But he said, that's the reason I was given that, was to keep me humble, because I have seen so much of the grandeur of heaven that I really can't relate it. And if I were to, you would take me and put me on a pedestal somewhere, and then instead of glorifying God, you would be glorifying me, and I don't want that to happen. So God, in order to keep me from ever thinking of doing that, has given me a thorn in the flesh to humble me down and keep me in that position so that I would not open my mouth. That's what he says. Any questions on that? Okay, we're learning some things here about heaven. We're learning that the grandeur of it is so fantastic that a man that went there, even an apostle, he said, I can't tell you about it. I just cannot reiterate it to you. And he said, you would glorify me, and I don't want to be glorified. So therefore, I'm just going to keep it to myself. My grandson sitting back there, he and I talk about a lot of things. And I told him I went through 6 months of special warfare school, and they taught us a lot of things. And they put armed guards on the door, and we were not allowed out during these discussions or these films that they showed us. And he's after me all the time. Granddaddy, I still want to know what they told you in there. What did they show you? And I said, I can't tell you, because I signed an agreement that I would be liable to go to federal penitentiary if I ever revealed it. That was in the 1960s. I told him this. If I ever see it on the news, if I ever see it revealed publicly, I'll tell you about it. So far, that was in 1963, it's never been revealed to the public of America. It's still kept secret, and what I saw and the things that was involved in there has never been made public. So I tell him, my lips are still sealed until that day. So this is the way Paul was about his revelations in heaven. Any questions? Jack, I think your question, Jack, is exactly where is heaven? Is that right? Yeah. Right. The universe is so huge. We don't even know the limits of the universe. In fact, some scientists claim that it's still expanding. They do that by different assumptions and measurements and so forth. They say it's still expanding, and it may be. Where is the third heaven? Again, it is beyond our universe and our space of what you can see at night. If you walk out at night, I like to walk at night when it's clear and it's cool and look up into the heavens. It's God's glory. And you look at the Milky Way. Any of you who have ever traveled, been down like around the equator in there, you go out into the jungles at night out there, and there's no lighting. It's just absolutely pitch dark. You can see the Milky Way. We're just one little speck in one arm of this spiral galaxy called the Milky Way. You can see it really good around the equator and in the jungle area because there's no light to block out the vision at night. And it's almost like you can just reach out and touch that thing and be part of it. This is just one little galaxy. They say now there's probably billions of galaxies like ours out there. They can't even count the number of them. So heaven is even beyond that. It's way beyond that. Any other questions? Anybody? All right. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is Paul talking, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 through 8. Paul again talking. You know, God revealed so many things to him that was unique in his ministry. That's why he wrote most of the New Testament. Chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's our bodies, Paul says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now here we learn something else about heaven. Paul said, this body that we've got, even though we lose it, it dies, it deteriorates, we've got a building with God that is eternal, that's not made with hands by any structure here on this earth. It's eternal, it's spiritual, and it is eternal in the heavens forever and ever in existence. So people want to know, okay, what happens when you die? Well, you're going to have a new body, and it's going to exist for all eternity somewhere. Now, we'll get more details of that as we get into this study. Let's go on. For in this we groan, or we sigh. You could translate that word groan from the Greek as we are sighing, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Paul here says that while we're on this earth, we're going to groan, we're going to hurt, we're going to have all kinds of health issues, and we groan about it and complain about it every day. But he said, our real desire should be to be in our heavenly bodies, which is in heaven, in there that's eternal and doesn't have all these frailties. Now, everybody in here has got some kind of physical issue. I don't care who you are, but you got some kind of a physical issue. If you don't have, wait long enough and you'll get one. That is an absolute promise. So just be prepared. You younger ones who are thinking I'm Superman right now, and that was the time I thought I was too. But you know what? I found out that I'm not Superman. There's some kryptonite around somewhere that's going to get you. And as I got older, I think there's more of it around the house. So you're gonna find these infirmities, and it won't be very much fun. But Paul says we really, if we understand God's program, we look for a day when our bodies are going to be perfect and residing in heavens, not down here on the earth. I mean, look around you. You got tornadoes, you got floods, you got everything going, you got pestilences. You know, every week the scientists come up with a new germ they say is going to wipe out mankind. And if it's not one this week, it's going to be another one next week. And, you know, brain-eating bacteria, don't blow your nose the wrong way, you'll get it. And on and on and on. This stuff goes on every week. I mean, if you really listened to this and you believed everything was put out there, you'd go totally insane. So, anyway, there's these things around. They're there. We have to learn to live with them. But Paul says, I'm looking for a better place and I'm looking for a better body. I am too. Look at verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, a lot of people want to, what about heaven? I mean, we're going to walk around naked up there? No, we are not. We are going to be clothed. We'll get in more details into that a little bit later. So we're not going to walk around naked. Nobody's going to be ashamed and all that. You're going to have some clothes on up there. So this answers that question. You are going to have some clothes. So I know that that's one question that will come up. So now you know you're going to have on some clothes, and it's going to be better than any designer stuff they got down here. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Paul says, you're going to put on this old, take this old body here, and you're going to get rid of it. And you're going to have a new body, and it's going to be clothed in raiment, and we'll get into the details later in other scriptures. But it's going to be clothed, and man, you're going to look better than any of the top models walking down whatever these things they give for you women. These, what do y'all call them? Fashion shows. Yeah. So you're going to be looking better than any fashion show you've ever seen. I guarantee you. Now, He that hath wrought, or prepared would be a better word for wrought. He that hath prepared us for the selfsame thing is God. God is the one who's making all these provisions. It's not some man that can fail. It's not anybody else in the heavenlies, the angels, anybody else. It's God Himself. He said, I'm preparing this for you, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. What is the earnest of the Spirit? It's God's promise to you that you will dwell with Him for eternity in the heavens, in this great, wonderful place. And in the book of Ephesians, it says that we have the earnest of inheritance, which is the Spirit of God. So Paul here is saying that you've got the Holy Spirit. That's the earnest that God can put down for you, knowing that you are going to dwell in this place and that you are going to have this grandeur that He has promised. All of you have probably dealt with real estate in some manner. We got some real estate agents in here. And you know when you go and you find the place that you want, you put down earnest money on it. And if you don't go finish the contract out, you lose it. Well, God is saying here, I put the earnest money down on you. When you made your commitment to me as a Christian, when you made your commitment that Jesus Christ was your Savior, you are then given the earnest of your inheritance. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells with you. And that's your earnest that Paul's talking about here. He says, you've got it. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the promise of getting what you're going to get eternally is waiting for you in heaven. It's not like you got 30 days to close the deal and move in your new house. God says when you die and you go to heaven, you've got the earnest of your inheritance right there. And I'm sure that you're going to get it. There's no questions asked. Any questions about that? That's eternal security. And I know many, many people don't believe in eternal security that are Christians. And I feel sorry for them because they're going through every day thinking that they're lost one day and saved the next. And that's a terrible feeling. I've been there. I know what it's like. So I really appreciate this earnest of my inheritance, the Holy Spirit, that's going to guarantee me a place in heaven with God in this mansion that He is preparing for us right now. Any questions? Jack. The question is, people that die now, are they waiting in the second heaven to go to the third heaven? Now, let me say this, and we've got a lot of scriptures coming up on that, Jack, in our other studies. But let me say this. When you die now, if you're a Christian, you go to the third heaven. You bypass the second. You'll get to see all the galaxies on your way out. And then you'll be in the third heaven. That's where you will be today. If you die, you go to the third heaven. And we've got some scriptures that I'm going to get into detail on that as we study. Look at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. Notice Paul says, I'm always confident. I'm living in this confidence every day, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. As long as we're here, Paul says, we can't be in heaven. He said, I know that. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul says, it's better to be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. He said, that's what's absolutely great. That's what he was looking for. And Paul goes on to tell the people that he's talking to, he said, I really right now, I'd rather die. Paul said, I'd like to just drop dead right now, if you want to get an expanded translation. I'd just like to drop dead right now and go to heaven. I've been there. I've seen it. It's lovely. It's better than what I'm going through right now. But he said, it's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to stay here and continue to communicate with you and teach you and guide you and strengthen you spiritually. So he said, it's better for you, for me not to die. But I'd sure like to go right on right now because I've seen what's coming in the future. But Paul said, I've got a task to do. got a job to do, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And he did. Any questions over what we've covered? We're just getting into it. Anybody? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this study. Thank you for the wonderful promises that you have given us in the heavenlies, Lord. Let us each day be thankful that it's coming. Every time we suffer a pain or an issue, let us be thankful that you have given us the earnest of the acceptance of our place in heaven with you. Lord, comfort us with this. Be with our loved ones this week. We pray for all those that are taking treatment and, Lord, that are undergoing all kinds of physical issues. Thank you for listening to us and letting us have this time with you and your word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need me.